Hello, I'm Sherry House, a missionary living in Thailand who loves to study the lives of great women of whom it can be said, she hath done what she could. Welcome to Silhouettes, my weekly story about a lady whose life challenges, encourages, and teaches me. I hope as you listen today, your heart will be encouraged and challenged too, to do what you can for the Lord. So grab a cup of tea, sit back and enjoy. Let me tell you her story. Annie Skau was born on May 29, 1911, in Oslo, Norway. At the age of 7, Annie went for a visit to her grandmother's. While there, she sat and listened to her grandma pray. She hadn't ever learned to pray in her own home and was in awe of how her grandma prayed so fervently and like she knew God personally. During that visit, Annie trusted Christ as her Savior. She recalled even into her adulthood the peace that flooded her soul at the moment she believed. Annie studied to become a nurse after her grandmother became ill, and upon her graduation, she accepted a position at a hospital in Oslo. Norwegian Christians' hearts had been stirred by Hudson Taylor some 60 years prior, and his desire to reach all of China with the gospel still influenced many around the world. Annie was one of those whose hearts had been stirred. She joined the Norwegian Missionary Association with the intent of becoming a medical missionary in China. At the age of 27, she traveled to London, where she trained at the China Inland Mission headquarters and took a course on tropical diseases. She then headed by boat to Hong Kong. From there, she took a train and arrived in Shaanxi, a mountainous province located in northern China. She arrived on December 23, 1938, and joined veteran missionaries Esther and Jacob Nordmo. At 6'3" tall, Annie often towered over the Chinese people, but they soon grew to love this gentle giant dearly. She served the people in Shaanxi for nearly 13 years. Annie was involved in the mission hospital, as well as helping in the missionary church plants. In 1951, after the end of the Chinese Civil War, all foreign missionary endeavors were stopped by the government, and the missionaries were forced to leave the mainland. Their church plants were forced underground to hide from the communists. At that time, there were over 18,000 people who had trusted Christ and followed the Lord in believers' baptism in their province through the many efforts of the missionaries and the Chinese Christians. Annie left China and went to Hong Kong, where there was an estimated 250,000 Chinese refugees living. She worked at the Rennie Mill refugee camp, particularly with those who were suffering with tuberculosis. 2 years later, on October 22, 1955, at the age of 44, Annie founded the Haven of Hope Hospital, a rehabilitation center for Chinese refugees. Other fellow missionaries joined her in the work of the hospital, which offered not only help for those in physical need, but also hope and healing for those in spiritual need. The first child to be born at the Haven of Hope Hospital was a little girl named Ling Ling. Her parents were unable to care for her and left her at the hospital. Annie took her in and became her mother. In 1961, Annie founded a school and hostel for children called Sunnyside Children's Preventorium. On June 25, 1966, at the age of 55, Annie married Ryder Berntsen. They continued in the hospital and missionary work. That same year, they officially adopted Ling Ling. Annie faithfully ran the hospital for 23 years until her retirement in 1978. The Haven of Hope Hospital is still in existence today and has become one of the leading hospitals for rehabilitation in Hong Kong. On November 26, 1992, at the age of 82, Annie went home to be with her Lord that she had served so faithfully. It wouldn't be until a few years later, in 1995, that her mission board was finally able to reconnect with the congregations in Shaanxi. At that time, there were more than 200,000 Christians listed on the church membership rolls. The work that Annie and her fellow missionaries spent their lives for continues on today. You can find out more about Annie Skau on my website, sherryhouse.com, but let me tell you another story from her life that resonated with one of my own. One day in June of 1941, just a couple years after Annie arrived in China, she and a friend were walking down a small country lane towards a mountain village. The pair couldn't be more different. Annie, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and again a towering 6'3" tall, and her friend, a petite Chinese lady, barely 5 feet tall. The one thing, though, they did have in common was the straw hats they were wearing that offered them protection from the blazing hot sun. The area had been in a long period of drought, and the villagers were in danger of losing a year's worth of crops if rain didn't come soon. As the ladies neared the entrance to the village, they were met by a procession of villagers. The men in the front of the group were holding up idols made out of wood, while the men in the back were beating drums and screaming with their faces and voices raised to the sky. When the men saw the ladies, two of them ran up to Annie and her friend, shouting and insisting that they take their hats off immediately or risk the wrath of the gods. Annie responded that she would not show honor to the idols by removing her hat. The men were enraged and threatened that if the women refused to remove their hats, they would rip them off their heads and burn them, because surely if the gods of their idols saw the straw hats, they would send more drought. Annie again refused. "Then we will kill you," they said. Over a dozen men surrounded the ladies with large sticks raised over their heads. Annie said to them that her god could give them the rain that their idols could not. The men responded angrily that the only gods they knew were their gods, and they raised their sticks to beat the two women to death. Annie shouted for them to stop and told them that her god would show his power and bring rain before midnight that very night and end the drought. The eldest member in the group motioned for the others to lower their weapons and said, "The giant woman is promising rain. Do you hear that? Let her show us what this god of hers can do. Let her show us that she has a god better than our gods. But if the giant woman and her god cannot provide rain before midnight, we will kill her." Annie and her friend were allowed to pass without harm. When they reached the mission station, they recalled the events to the veteran missionaries. The missionaries questioned Annie's sanity and sang something like she did. They told her not only would the mob come and kill her, but they would most likely burn the entire mission station down and all their work would be lost. Annie responded with these words, "I can only believe that it is God's will that I should live and continue to preach the gospel in this country. Therefore, I trust him to show who is the one and only God who can provide rain during this drought." Annie and her friend went to a small hut on the property and began to pray and asked God to send the rain. 30 minutes before midnight, someone ran to the hut and threw open the doors and told them God had heard their prayers. The rain was coming. The story spread through the local villages of Annie's God who had power to make it rain. Many souls were saved because of Annie's faith that God could and would show himself strong on her behalf. Our first Bible English camp was held in October 2016. I designed the day camp around a vacation Bible school model where children were divided into four groups according to age. Throughout the morning, they would rotate between different stations that included English vocabulary and conversation, arts and crafts, sports, and Bible time. Many parents who wouldn't let their children come to church let them come to the camp because of the English learning emphasis. We had nearly 100 kids attend that first year from the neighborhood surrounding our church, and the camp has continued to grow each year. For Bible time that first year, we focused on stories from the life and ministry of Elijah. Mrs. Carmen Shook, a retired pastor's wife turned missionary, was the Bible teacher that year. She did an amazing job bringing Elijah's stories to life for the children. The gospel was woven throughout the lessons, and many children were saved that week. One of our church ladies, Kun Pontip, brought a carload of little boys who lived in and around the dump outside of her village. One of the boys was Pet, who was 6 years old and lived with his mother in a shack. He was a ball of energy and really loved all the activities at the camp that week. He was fascinated with this God that he was learning about and this man called Elijah. All he had ever known was the idols his mother took him to worship at the local temple and the amulet of a Buddhist priest he wore around his neck for protection. On the last day of camp, Pet's mother questioned Kun Pontip when she came to pick him up and ask her what we were teaching her son. Apparently, the day before, Mrs. Shook had taught the children about Elijah calling fire down from heaven to prove he was the one true God. Pet had gone home and told his mother that if they didn't have money for firewood that night to make their dinner, she didn't need to worry because he believed in God and he would pray to God and God would send fire down from heaven for them. He firmly believed this with all of his little heart. Kun Pontip was able to share the story more fully with Pet's mother and give her the gospel. Pet trusted Christ as his Savior and attended our church for several years. Today I want to do a Bible study with you entitled, How's Your Faith Doing? I have not seen that young boy Pet but once in the past 2 years, but I often think of his unquestioning faith that night as he spoke to his mother, and I am challenged to check the status of my own faith. Is it strong or weak at the moment? Does it easily present itself, or do I have to dig down deep to try and find it?
How about you? Have you become complacent to just go with the flow instead of trusting God to perform miracles on your behalf? When was the last time that you showed true faith? When was the last time you dared to claim a promise from God and hold to it until it was performed? It is interesting how our faith ebbs and flows at different times. Baby Christians often have a childlike faith that is full of wonder. Sometimes, especially in long periods of trial, we can lose sight of a faith that takes God at His word and believes He will do it. Sometimes, because God has had to tell us no for one thing, it makes us doubt that He will say yes for another. I know it is biblical and important for us to pray in the will of God. Even Jesus gives us the example in Luke 22:42 of praying in the will of the Father, when He says, "If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." It is just as important, though, to remember that God delights to show Himself strong on our behalf. 2 Chronicles 16:9a says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." I often used to, while praying, fall into the habit of saying, "Lord, please do this or that," and then immediately doubting that He would. I always know the Lord is capable of doing anything. We have the verse, "For with God all things are possible," right? But I often doubted if He would do it just because I ask. I would say to myself, "I know God can do it, but I don't know if He will do it." It was almost like I was hesitant to pray confidently and believe boldly that God would answer my prayer for fear that He wouldn't and I'd be disappointed, or others would feel like my God wasn't powerful enough or didn't care enough. What a lack of faith I was displaying to the Lord. My faith life was forever changed one day, almost 10 years ago now, when I came across a simple little 12-word sentence in 2 Kings 6. It is the story of the king of Syria's outrage that Elisha kept foiling his battle plans by revealing his army's location to the Israelite king. The Syrian king finally found out where Elisha was and sent a great army to encompass the city with horses and chariots. When the army started down the mountain to capture Elisha, he prayed a simple prayer, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." He didn't ask the Lord what he should do. He didn't fret. He didn't clarify his request with, "If you want to." He simply thought, if the army was coming to find him, that if they were blind, they wouldn't be able to see him. It seemed like an easy solution to an impending problem. It was the next sentence that blew me away. It says, "And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." According to the word of Elisha. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, "Wow, you did this not because you had planned it from ages past, but because it was Elisha's idea. It was his request." I feel my prayer life will forever be changed. Since that time, nearly 10 years ago, I wish I could say I've never fallen back into my old habits of doubting God's willingness. It is easy to forget sometimes that the God of Elisha is the same God I love and serve, the same God who delights to show Himself strong for those who believe. I was challenged by the Holy Spirit several months ago during a very difficult personal time in my life to take the promise God had clearly given me over a year and a half before that and hold Him to it, to really claim it and remove all doubt or hesitation that God might not do it. Just a few days later, God brought His promise to pass and granted my request. How about you? How's your faith doing? If it is struggling, I challenge you to study Hebrews 11. Study the lives of the heroes of faith mentioned in it. Study the verses like Hebrews 11:6 that say, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's silhouette and learning a little bit more about Annie Scow's story and this matter of having great faith. She truly is a woman of whom it could be said, "She hath done what she could." Let's you and I go do what we can do.
Silhouettes with Sherry is written and told by missionary Sherry House. To learn more about Sherry, this story, or other stories about women who were used of God, read Sherry's blog at sherryhouse.com. That's sharihouse.com. Silhouettes can be heard at this time every week on this station. Silhouettes is a Causeway Media and Faith Music Radio production.